WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. One of President Trump's political foes, former FBI Director James Comey, will be arraigned in federal court in Virginia today. CBS's Natalie Brand.
He's charged with obstruction of justice and making false statements related to five-year-old Senate testimony during which he denied authorizing leaks to the media.
Texas National Guard troops will hit the streets of Chicago today. Correspondent Nicole Skanga.
Fresh off of C-17's roughly 200 members of the Texas National Guard, their assignment, well, the Pentagon has ordered soldiers to protect federal law enforcement and property from violent demonstrations.
The federal government shut down, entering its eighth day, and President Trump has suggested furloughed workers may not get back pay. Connecticut's Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal.
If pay is denied because people have rights, they will sue for damages.
Flight delays continue to mount as more air traffic controllers sick out in protest. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. There's a court fight over Wisconsin's registered voters. A Waukesha County judge says the state's top election officials must verify that everyone on the voter rolls is a U.S. citizen. Savannah Tolmay Olson has the story.
According to reporting from the State Journal, this is all because of a case brought by two voters represented by a conservative law firm. These voters filed a lawsuit claiming Wisconsin should require proof of citizenship for people to cast a ballot. And this judge agreed, ordering the state to verify all voters are citizens by the next election in February. But then the Department of Justice has filed an appeal asking for the order to be put on hold. Attorney General Josh Call says implementing this new check would, quote, require a massive overhaul of Wisconsin's voter registration statute, end quote. He also argues the judge's order creates a new voter requirement that's not in state law. The judge agreed to postpone part of his order, the part that would have required every new voter trying to register prove they're a U.S. citizen, which Call says would have shut down voter registration in the state. The judge set a court date for October 31st. Wisconsin has 3.6 million voters, and on average, 200 people register to vote every day. By law, only U.S. citizens can vote, and anyone who casts a ballot without being a U.S. citizen can be prosecuted.
The Wisconsin DNR is reminding migratory bird hunters the importance of preventing the spread of aquatic invasive species. During the fall hunting seasons, steps can be taken to protect the wetlands and waterways that support hunting traditions. Inspect all gear and remove all plants, animals, and mud. Drain all water from equipment and never move live fish or plants from one body of water to another. You can find more information at dnr.wisconsin.gov. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Game 3, Brewers and Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers playing the Cubs at Wrigley Field. First pitch at 4:08 this afternoon. It'll be Brewers pitcher Quinn Priester's first career start in the postseason.
And yeah, man, I'm going to be fired up. I'm already starting to feel that anxious, that good nerves. I'm fired up.
What's it like for the right-hander who just turned 25 years old? Manager Pat Murphy was asked.
Hey, Murph, with Quinn getting the start, just what's impressed you about his growth this entire season?
Yeah, how rapid it's been. This guy went from, you know, being a triple-A pitcher for the last couple years to emerging as a real presence, giving his team a chance very often. And just to see that happen right before your eyes, and it's pretty special. He's still a young pitcher.
NBA, ESPN.com again reporting the Bucks engaged in trade talks that could have sent Giannis to the Knicks. The Bucks say they've always kept in close contact with Giannis in the offseason. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
It is going to be mostly sunny and cool today. Our high right around 60 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear with a little more frost possible. We'll drop into the low to mid 30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a bit warmer with a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
Bengals.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. It's the Badgers and Hawkeyes at Camp Randall. Our coverage begins at 4.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
As the government remains shut down, what solutions are in sight, if any, and the political fallout in Wisconsin? We'll discuss it with Trigby Olson, the Lincoln Project, and Pat Kraitlow. Next time, join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Yeehaw.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kraitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, the guy who's a little worried about how much traffic he's going to have to go through on his way home.
I hate Dallas.
Founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kraitlow.
I will never make jokes about Illinois drivers again. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, October 8th, 2025. It surely is another beautiful morning up north, but even from here, live in Texas this week, we appreciate you joining us from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or watching us on social media, listening by podcast. Just appreciate you getting your day started right here, and started with the greeting and introduction from producer Parker Olson in Madison Studio A2, where, yes, as I get set to wrap up a few days in Dallas here, I will not miss the traffic one bit. Not one. Texas, I mean, the Illinois driver thing, you know, they occasionally will make a jerk move. You know, that's the main thing. They'll speed past you, you know, things like that. Here, every intersection, you take your life into your own hands. You never know who is going to come barreling through at any given point. I mean, the lights and signs mean nothing down here. It is just absolutely crazy.
That shouldn't surprise me, to be honest. I don't know why that surprises me for Texas.
Well, because keep in mind that yesterday or the day before, I was raving about the highway system itself.
That's true.
Again, because there's a lot of land here. You can make the highways very wide. You can have the express lanes. There's all these extra ramps and bridges and all that. But I think that's great when it's not rush hour. Yeah. I've now had to make a couple of different runs out to the airport to take, you know, our younger daughter back so she could fly back home, and then to take, you know, some our other grandkids so they could fly off, and then we're flying out tomorrow. And I'm telling you, you can't pave your way to easy traffic around that Dallas-Fort Worth airport. It's just not possible, but it is what it is. We still managed to have a good time. Our daughter that lives here took us to the Fort Worth Stockyards yesterday.
Oh yeah,
is a must. You get to see all the Longhorn cattle being, you know, marched down the cobblestone streets of what used to be a very bustling, you know, meatpacking area, but now lots of touristy shops and things like that, and yes, Parker, just for you, I did take photos of the chaps that were on sale.
Did you buy any?
No, I did not buy any. I have no need. No need.
No need.
Nor for any cowboy hats or arrowheads or lassos or you name. I mean, look, there's tourist traps everywhere.
Yeah.
Texas is no exception.
Well, yeah. So my brother learned how to lasso in high school.
For what practical purpose, dare I ask?
He was in a musical. He was doing Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah. Well, musical theater, then that's fine. I mean, it wasn't like he was looking for a prom date or something. I'd pick you.
No, certainly not.
Good. That's a nice development then. So anyway, all going well. It'll be nice to get home, that's for sure, where things continue to be busy. It's a busy season back home with all kinds of political notes, and so I've got a question for you. Did you assume that Josh Call was basically going to waltz right into the governor's race? Because you can't be blamed if that's what you thought. It was, after all, that's the Tony Evers path to the governor's office. But Josh Call is going to run instead for a third term as state attorney general, and we're going to talk more about that in just about 10 minutes or so. And we're going to do a little compare and contrast of Wisconsin's attorney general versus the United States attorney general, Pam Bondi, and the reality trash TV worthy performance that she gave yesterday when testifying before Congress. So we'll have that discussion coming up. Also later in the show, we're going to be talking to Chuck Collins, who is from the Patriotic Millionaires Group. And he has this book, Burned by Billionaires: How Concentrated Wealth and Power Are Ruining Our Lives and the Planet. He is one of the grandsons of Oscar Mayer, so he knows a thing or two about family fortunes and how wealth is first collected, but then protected, and then you pursue political power, and then you actually take that power and extract more wealth out of the middle class. All the stuff that happened during the Gilded Age, which is happening again right now. And so Chuck Collins talks about how do you fight that? And it's not a matter of going after the billionaires themselves, although that they make a tempting target, but it is the system. And you have to elect people that pledge to fix the system and make it work better for everybody and not just for their biggest and best campaign donors. We're also going to be talking in our homeroom segment. This is basically our one Texas segment while I'm down here. Is talking to an official who works with a group that supports public schools and the ongoing battles that they face because of support for taxpayer-funded vouchers for private schools. And she works especially with Texas schools, but can tell us that from Texas and other states, what lessons can we learn in Wisconsin? Because we've got a voucher system that is already approaching the $1 billion a year price tag. And what can we do before this beast becomes an absolute taxpayer catastrophe? So that's coming up at 7:35 in our homeroom segment. We're going to talk to Ellie Bardot, our new newsletter editor here at Up North News. And, of course, it's Wednesday, so we've got all kinds of regular friends. Earl Ingram about his podcast. Melissa Baldoff talking about climate. Jimmy Cuska talking about sports. If you can't stick around for all of it, you should get us as a podcast as well. And that way you can listen on demand. Head over to Spotify and follow the program. Follow all of the Civic Media shows. You can do it at Apple as well or wherever you get your podcast. And take us along. Another way to follow what we do on all of these shows across Civic Media is to get the Civic Media daily newsletter, Civic Media Today. That's on Substack. Head over to civicmediatoday.substack.com for more. From a sports standpoint, we've got the Brewers playing the Cubs a little later on this afternoon in the National League Division Series, Game 3, hopefully going for a sweep as the series moves to Wrigley Field. But let's start with the games from last night, because one of them, Parker, was especially exciting, where the Yankees were facing elimination, and they were down early in their game to the Toronto Blue Jays 6-1. And they managed to come all the way back thanks to, I think you've heard of this guy, Aaron Judge. He's pretty good.
He's
pretty good. Kid, a game-tying homer. He drove in four runs overall in a clutch performance for the ages, they're saying, as the Yankees staved off elimination, rallying from being down 6-1 to beat the Toronto Blue Jays 9-6 in Game 3. It was the Yankees' largest comeback ever in an elimination game, which is saying something given the storied history of that franchise. They will do it again tonight at Yankee Stadium. In the other American League Division Series, Game 3, the Seattle Mariners beat the Detroit Tigers 8-4 last night. So Seattle's up 2-1 on Detroit. So we've got the full load of Division Series games today, including the Brewers going for that 3-game sweep against the Cubs as the series moves to Wrigley Field for today's start. It is a 4:08 start, which means that pregame coverage begins on stations of the Civic Media Radio Network starting at 3:30 this afternoon. Again, pregame 3:30 for Brewers versus Cubs. If the Brewers don't win this afternoon, then game four will be at Wrigley Field tomorrow. So again, that full slate of games, it's Seattle-Detroit at 2, Brewers-Cubs at 4, Blue Jays-Yankees at 6, and then Phillies-Dodgers at 8, where the Dodgers are up 2 games to love over Philadelphia as well. So we've got a very busy week for baseball here. At some point, we'll talk about the Packers again, but I'm a baseball guy.
This is the best time of year for sports because you get MLB postseason, you get NFL, you get all the college football. It's a great time. And plus, like, people like Dan Schaefer are really excited about Bucks preseason.
Yes, he is. We talked about that yesterday in our 8:30 half hour, how excited Dan is for the Bucks to get going as compared to those of us who pay attention to the NBA sometime after March Madness is all done. Since, you know, the NBA postseason now stretches into half of summer, it feels like. But you got to start the season sometime, and it's going to be starting here real soon. And then, of course, like you mentioned, there's college football as well. The Wisconsin Badgers head to Iowa. They will play a late game on Saturday. Pregame coverage begins at 4 o'clock on several civic media stations. What else have we got? Oh, Dan, we talked about Dan. I should plug his newsletter as well. He has the Recombobulation Area. The recombobulationarea.news is where you sign up. And, of course, he contributes to the aforementioned Civic Media Today newsletter that you can get over at Substack. So have you altered your plans for today so that, you know, when you've got the Brewers-Cubs playing at 4 o'clock that you can clear the decks and pay attention to things?
Well, frankly, my biggest worry during that time period is me being asleep, because that's a pretty prime nap time for me. So
it's funny. I have never heard somebody in their early 20s talk so much about nap time until Parker got this early morning gig and talks about it that way. But you know, I'm glad you protect the napdom. I like that.
You need to. It's believe me, Pat, I need to.
Oh yeah, no, I'm hoping to get a little downtime as well because I am definitely getting into that travel, what do you call it, heartburn phase. Where when you're traveling, and don't get me wrong, travel's great, but at some point you realize you're pretty much all the time eating out at some place.
Sure,
you know, yesterday when the show got done, my daughter's like, oh, there's a great bagel shop, so we got this great, you know, bagel sandwiches. And then we're at the Stockyards for lunch. Well, you got to have barbecue. So, of course, there's a big old plate of brisket and ribs to work on. And then later it was, you know, well, should we make a little something here? No, there's a really cool restaurant, you know, down the road. Let's go try that out. And so, of course, somewhere in the middle of the night, it occurs to me, I haven't had just a simple, basic home-cooked meal in a while. And today better be that day for it because there's –
fingers crossed.
Nothing else. There's room for this cup of coffee around everything else, and then that's going to do it. And then a little bit of downtime for the Brewers game.
Fair, yeah. And it kind of sucks too because you don't have your own bed to go to.
No. And again, you know, travel's great, but at some point you go, oh, these are not my pillows. This is not my mattress. And you learn to appreciate it so much more when you get back to it. And especially in a place like Texas, where, again, it was 90 yesterday, you know, outside. You'd get into your car in the parking lot and it would be 212 degrees.
Yeah, you know, burn your butt inside the car.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Still a little toasty down here. But again, I will have all winter to think about this. And say, I appreciate seasons, even the winter ones, more so than, you know, eternal heat. Eternal heat's kind of overrated, having lived on an island for 3 years. Yeah, there's a lot to be said for jeans and hoodies, you know.
Variety's good. I'm a big winter guy. I like it.
Yeah. So bring that on. I'll be ready to go back to the hoodies. And I think we've seen the last of the 80s, you know, or at least the upper 80s in Wisconsin. So, you know. It's fall. It's Packer time. We just got to get the Brewers a little deeper into the postseason as well. Well, coming up in a moment, as I said, we've got Attorney General Josh Call deciding not to run for governor, which kind of goofed up our question of the week in the newsletter. But we'll We'll talk more about that and about the embarrassment of the U.S. Attorney General on Capitol Hill yesterday. Thanks for joining us here on the Civic Media Radio Network, live from Dallas. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll be right back.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
We are the National Park Foundation. And together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin as cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
So, as I mentioned, Josh Call has a lot of things to think about as State Attorney General. I don't think he was thinking about messing up our question of the week, but he did. I'm sure he didn't mean to, but by announcing yesterday that he is not going to run for governor, it kind of messed up our first way too early poll for governor for Wisconsin for 2026. It was part of our Sunday morning newsletter, originally and creatively titled Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. You can sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the banner at the top of our homepage. And yeah, this past Sunday, we said, well, here are the people who have said they're running for governor. We're also going to throw in Attorney General Josh Call because he might run. And we'll throw in former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes because he might run yet. And then everybody who has announced, what do you think? And we did get some responses from people who said that Josh Call would be their first choice for governor. They really like what he has done as Attorney General, trying to keep the Trump administration accountable, you know, fighting for consumer protection and all of the things that a good state attorney general does. Well, those folks aren't going to get to vote for Josh Call at this point. Mandela Barnes has now said that he is seriously considering getting into the race for governor, but it is not official yet. But we've also been receiving a lot of replies from people who, like all of the other candidates who are running, everybody from beer vendor Ryan Sternad to, you know, members of the legislature and non-politicians alike. And so, again, to be the first to see our question of the week on Sunday mornings, sign up for our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. So getting back to Josh Call's announcement yesterday that he's going to run instead for a third term as attorney general, he told Wisconsin Public Radio, quote, this is such an important time for the role of attorneys general around the country. I think it's a pivotal time for the country, and I think some of our most basic rights are under threat. WPR notes that Call has signed on to several dozen multi-state lawsuits against the Trump administration. Those have targeted different cuts to federal funds and grants, access to personal data, the firings of federal workers, Trump's attempt to block birthright citizenship, among other policies as well. Now, speculation about Josh Call running for governor someday even predated Tony Evers' decision not to seek a third term next year, because Josh Call would have been on the Tony Evers track for governor, having won multiple statewide elections already. But ultimately, Call decided to stay put, and that leaves more than a half dozen other Democrats now seeking the governor's post. And all of them, you know, good candidates in their own way for governor. And then Josh Call hoping to continue the good service that he has provided to the people of the state of Wisconsin. And that's the difference between having an attorney general who's driven by mission to the rule of law and one who is instead just engaged in theater. And that takes us to Pam Bondi, the corrupt Florida attorney general turned corrupt U.S. attorney general, turned a congressional inquiry about abuse at the Justice Department into the usual Trump-worthy responses worthy of the trash TV that this administration truly represents. Bondi refused to answer questions and instead hurled juvenile insults, making clear she has no business being the top law enforcement official of the United States of America. Her ongoing audition to please Donald Trump is just embarrassing and now borders on the criminally contempt. Of course, there's something Pam Bondi knows a thing or two about, and that is, you know, being borderline criminally contempt. She first came on the scene 12 years ago when her Florida Attorney General's office declined to assist in the investigation of widespread fraud committed by Trump University. It was then discovered that a political group supporting Bondi had received a $25,000 political contribution from the Trump Foundation. One problem: foundations cannot make political contributions. Eventually, Trump would shut down the fraudulent Trump Foundation and the fraudulent Trump University. In return, he got a fraudulent lackey who would later serve as United States Attorney General. So yesterday's behavior was not really news. On the release of files related to sexual predator and former Trump friend Jeffrey Epstein, despite saying earlier this year that the Epstein client list was sitting on her desk for review, Bondi said yesterday she actually had yet to review the documents. On the legal justification for a president to send military troops into the streets of American cities instead of protecting our country from outside enemies, Bondi resorted to legal arguments best described as, "I know you are, but what am I?" And then there's Trump's so-called border czar, Tom Homan, who was recorded last year accepting what appears to be a bribe of $50,000 in cash. Not only has the investigation apparently been dropped, but when she was asked yesterday if taxpayers got the bribe money back from Homan, Bondi wouldn't say. Again, acting more like a mouthpiece for her boss rather than the person most responsible for ensuring that there is equal treatment under the law. Now, did any Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee take Bondi to task for choosing drama over substance and failure to answer these important questions about the politicization of the U.S. Department of Justice? Of course not. They were joining in on some other weighty matters like Hunter Biden and the 2020 election. You know, two of the issues at the heart of Donald Trump's two impeachments, where Republicans chose politics over law and democracy. I could go on and on, but the point is that in looking at Josh Call and Pam Bondi yesterday, we know what a good attorney general looks like, and we know what a stooge looks like. And expecting justice from the current U.S. Department of Justice is just something that's not in the cards. Coming up next, today's history lesson, we'll start off with a little Cool in the Gang by Cool himself. That's coming up after the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 97.5 WFHR. If you're a connoisseur of butter, you may be feeling left out of a global trend. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. I'll explain what that's all about next.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
Apparently, there is a global trend of consumers looking for pasture-raised butter. That's word from Dr. Greg Brickner. He is a veterinarian and a grazing specialist with the Dairy Grazing Apprenticeship. He said this is a market that the United States, to a large extent, is missing out on. Areas like New Zealand seem to be the blueprint moving forward, and he's investigating.
Really, the only place that a grazing dairy farmer can get a premium for their work is through organic and organic grass-fed markets then. And those are difficult markets to get into. They take time to transition into. And even though they have a very high pay price, they have very high input costs as well. So profitability is just as challenging in those. And so we're trying to provide a conventional grass-based market, much like is done in the rest of the world, New Zealand and Ireland.
Dr. Greg Brickner, he's a veterinarian and a grazing specialist with the Dairy Grazing Apprenticeship Program. He said if the United States can focus a little bit more effort on pasture-raised butter, the premiums could be there. Last year alone, American consumers bought and consumed an average of 2.7 million pounds of butter each day.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation. And did you know this is National 4-H Week? 4-H'ers have been found to be twice as likely to have the goal of being a leader, three times more likely to participate in community service, and twice as likely to report living life with intentionality and purpose. Find out more at the number 4-H.org. There's your food news for Wednesday. I'm Pam Yonke. Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
It is going to be mostly sunny and cool today. Our high right around 60 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear with a little more frost possible. We'll drop into the low to mid 30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a bit warmer with a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out.
life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'll be joined by Emily Cherniak, founder and executive director of New Politics, an organization designed to help build the Democratic pipeline of candidates who are truly ready to lead.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Feels Ooh. Like a yacht rock kind of day, doesn't Ooh, it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't play a little Cool in the Gang without going, who is cool from Cool in the Gang? To which Robert Bell says, I'm cool. Robert Cool Bell turns 75 years old today.
He said, I'm just me.
It's me. I mean, I don't know if he gave himself the name Cool or somebody else did, but he's cool and he's got a gang. So cool, cool in the gang.
Yeah. You know.
And all of their many hits.
The whole... I'm glad you said yacht rock because that reminded me of the. Did you hear about the little Craig Council hates yacht rock?
Thing? No.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
So the Brewers on the day before the series started, so I think on Friday last week, the Cubs were taking BP in the stadium, and the Brewers were playing kind of slow songs like yacht rock.
Oh, yeah, I did hear about that. Yes, yeah. Yes.
Uh-huh. Turns out, apparently, that was because Craig Council, very vocally, which is a weird thing to do, hates yacht rock.
So that's why I didn't know why they were playing yacht rock for the Cubs BP, but it turns out he expressed a strong dislike for yacht rock.
Yeah, which is kind of a weird thing to be vocal about.
Yeah, so for those of you going, you know, Pat, you're so hard on Craig Council all the time. I mean, he's a Milwaukee product. He's a beloved son of the city. And he did such great things for the Brewers. Now you're mad because he went to play for the Cubs. Yeah, now this.
This is the last straw.
This is my line in the sand with the yacht rock. So that's it, Craig Council. We're done.
Wow.
Okay, we are already done ahead of time.
I mean, still.
Yeah. All right, this is not a... happy day in history. On this day in 1871 was the Great Chicago Fire. It was also the Great Peshtigo Fire. It was also the Great Michigan Fire. None of them all knew at the time that this was going on, but they had all ignited this day in 1871, exacerbated by months of drought, years of slash and burn forest practices, and then a strong weather front that blew embers for miles and miles. So a very deadly, very serious day in all of those locations, from Chicago up to Northeast Wisconsin, up to the UP, this day in 1871. Let's get a little closer to the present time. Let's take you as far as 1982, where Culture Club released their debut album, Kissing to be Clever. Kissing to be Clever included their Time Clock of the Heart and Do You Really Want to Hurt Me and I'll Tumble For Ya. It was basically, you know, Boy George and Company unleashing a wave of acts from the UK that populated early MTV. You had groups like Duran Duran, Tears for Fears, The Human League, Eurythmics, and more. You know, basically it's when our generation looked back at, say, the 70s with polyester leisure suits and the 60s with the mini skirts, and we thought, oh, well, we live in the normal time. And now we look back at that time, at Boy
what
George,
the hell?
All the other bands of early MTV, and we're like, no, everybody becomes dated at this point, you know?
What do you think is going to stand out from today's style that people are going to go, really?
See, that's always the big question, is you don't know at the time. Then you look back at, you know, whether it's, we look back now at pages from the Sears catalog, you know, and we look at the styles there and we just kind of wince. And I don't know what it'll be. And the thing is, it's not that the style was right or wrong.
Yeah.
It's just that it changes. And so you look back at something so different and you think, oh, that's clearly dated. Well, no, it's just, it's what was normal then.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. In the later in the decade of the 80s, You went from the British MTV groups, you know, that were like overdressed. You went to hair bands like Def Leppard, and they had the number one song this day in 1988. So Def Leppard's Love Bites was one of the many hair band ballads that charted, such as Every Rose Has Its Thorn by Poison, Whitesnake's What Is This Love, there was Always by Bon Jovi, and of course, the worst of them all, Sister Christian by Night Ranger. But in each case, all of these bands learned that while it was fun to rock out, it was also very lucrative to slow things down now and then. And it's funny how many stories I've seen of bands that they started making money when they did these ballads and slow songs and love songs. And the band members were like, dude, we're here to rock out. And, you know, then their manager would show them the royalty check for the slow stuff. They'd be like, okay.
We can do that.
On Facebook.
Oh, boy.
The comment section from Roger.
Oh.
Roger writes,
oh, that's
did
okay.
You hear Boy George's pet lizard bit three people? Authorities have warned him he needs a calmer chameleon. I'm laughing because Parker has no idea why that's so funny. So I will teach him the song Karma Chameleon in the break. I promise.
Oh, boy.
But for those of us of a certain age, that was a good one there, Roger. Thank you very much. On this day in 1948, John Cummings was born in Long Island, a founding member of the Ramones. He became Johnny Ramone and passed away in 2004. On this day in 1965, C.J. Ramone, the bassist and occasional vocalist, was born Christopher Joseph Ward in Queens, New York City. On this day in 1980, Talking Heads released their fourth album, Remain in Light, including this hit.
And you may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful house. And you may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful wife.
Letting the days go by. Let the water.
Yes, that was 45 years ago that Talking Heads released Remain in Light. On this day in 1956, the New York Yankees' Don Larsen pitched the only perfect game in a World Series. And, you know, just great video of catcher Yogi Berra jumping up into his arms at the end of the game. And again, there's been one postseason no-hitter since then, but no perfect game. On this day in 1982, after its London premiere, Cats opened on Broadway and ran for nearly 18 years before closing in September of 2000. Is that anywhere in your, ever saw it or a group that performed it or anything like that? Because I'm not. I've never seen Cats.
I am very aware of Cats. I have not seen Cats, though.
Okay. Let's see. More birthdays. Oh, several birthdays here today. Let's start with Bruno Mars. Happy birthday to Bruno. He is 40 years old today.
What?
That's how these things work. You know, you're an overnight sensation at a ripe old age after you've been paying your dues for years and years. But
yeah,
I mean, this song itself now is going back, what, almost 10 years, right? Locked Out of Heaven.
I don't know how old this is.
Well, we'll look into that. Chevy Chase is 82 years old today. Actress Sigourney Weaver is 76 today. Actor Matt Damon is... we don't have time for Matt Damon. I'm sorry. Jimmy Kimmel will tell you he's 55 years old today. And here's another one of those that'll make you feel a little bit older. Angus T. Jones. Little Jake from Two and a Half Men is 32 years old today.
Oh, yeah.
See? Yeah, that'll do it to you.
Yeah.
All right. On this day in 1983... I'm going to tell you about the number one and number two songs on the chart. The number two song was Making Love Out of Nothing at All by Air Supply. And the number one song, Total Eclipse of the Heart, was from Bonnie Tyler.
One time I was falling in love, but now I'm only falling apart. There's nothing I can do.
A total eclipse of the heart.
Now, again, those songs, Total Eclipse of the Heart and Making Love Out of Nothing at All, those are classic Jim Steinman songs. The late Jimmy Steinman had all these songs with massive length and production value, and he did all of the, you know, the Bat Out of Hell stuff from Meatloaf, Paradise by the Dashboard Light. He's done all kind, you know, if you saw the list of songs, it's just classic Jim Steinman. It turns out that on this day in 1983, when those two songs were number one and two on the chart, he became the first solo writer and producer to hold the top two spots in the Billboard Hot 100. Now, out of sheer coincidence, Parker, last night, watching with my daughter, watching some TV, and she says, "Have you ever watched a show called Zillow Gone Wild?" And I said, "No, I know Zillow, the app for, you know, real estate, yeah. And I've heard of something called Zillow Gone Wild, which I'm sure shows off some wacky houses."
Sure.
And so she put it on, and wouldn't you know, right there was the house that belonged to the late Jim Steinman.
Oh, wow.
That was up for sale, and it clearly qualified for the show. It's
a little wacky.
It's unusual, yes. A lot of you know, interesting art, designer clothing, all kinds of instruments around. I believe one of the hallways, the walls weren't painted; they were all leather, for example.
Oh,
it was just there were so many interesting art objects that were in there.
Yeah,
all for a mansion that was listed at $4 million.
Cool.
And by the way, $4 million in this massive house with all these funky rooms, two bedrooms. The man did not want to entertain overnight guests. You can come visit. We can have a party here. And now it's time for you to go home. But that makes it a little tougher to sell, you know? I mean, because somebody's going to have to create bedrooms out of some of these other more eclectic rooms.
Yeah,
I guess, as it were.
That's interesting. Was he just getting out of the house?
I don't know. He's been passed away for a couple of years now.
Okay.
So I assume he was still living in it at the time.
I like the idea that they preserved it like that. And no one wants to tackle that beast. They just keep it that way.
Well, the listing agent said, you know, we want it this way because we want somebody to kind of protect a lot of what he put into it. And I don't know if that's going to be the case. I think somebody will pay top dollar for it and then pay top dollar for, you know, the wrecking crew to come in and make it their own, which they'll have an easier time doing that than they will the other house that they featured in this episode. The Old Shoe. Yes, it was a house built in the shape of a big old shoe, like, you know, like the
Little Miss Tuckett, is that her name?
There once an old woman who lived in a shoe, yeah. So many children, she didn't know what to do. So more like a boot.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. So it's a big white, like, boot for a house that you could live in. Somebody builds this for themselves. This whole show is people who build these things for themselves, and then somebody at some point goes, you know, you're going to have to sell this. You have to hope somebody wants this thing. And
yeah, but I'll die first and it won't be my problem.
That's just it. See, it won't be my problem then. You just go with what you enjoy. And that's how, you know, your Zillow Gone Wild and your HGTV and all these things. I'm sure they have to pay a little bit for the rights to tell the story, which is fine because they may not be getting income from any other source anytime soon. They got to pay the property taxes and everything else while they hope somebody comes along and wants a house shaped like a shoe. So
there you go.
Good luck to those folks. When we come back, we're going to talk a bit about some of the top stories that we're following at Up North News. And in our next hour, we will be talking about ongoing threats to public schools through the burgeoning, shall we say, voucher program that is approaching a $1 billion price tag here in Wisconsin. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. But not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. August 25th, a Utah judge ordered a new congressional redistricting map drawn after finding the legislature had violated the state constitution. October 6th, the legislature defiantly passed a new gerrymandered map. The legislature had previously passed legislation to neutralize Better Boundaries Proposition 4, a voter-approved independent redistricting commission passed in 2018. It ignored the commission's maps and created its own gerrymandered maps benefiting the Republican Party. Both acts were ruled unconstitutional. Third District Court Judge Diana Gibson set November 10th as a deadline for choosing a new map. October 6th, the legislature selected option C as their choice. The map, while slightly more competitive, appears to still lock in U.S. House seats for Republicans, according to the Utah News-Dispatch. It also passed a bill changing Proposition 4's language and requirements. The legislature is not the only stakeholder proposing maps. Plaintiffs, Mormon Women for Ethical Government and the League of Women Voters, also submitted 2 options on October 6th, both of which comply with Proposition 4's original criteria. Republicans argue only the legislature can approve the final map, not a judge, and hinted at impeachment if she doesn't approve the legislature's map. We've linked to the local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this Tuesday, October 7th, 2025. Have your host, James, here, joined right now by our great friend, executive director over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, Gretchen Powers, is with us. Gretch, good to see you.
Hi, how's it going?
Always good to hang out and talk with you. And real quickly, I have to embarrass you and wish you a happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
Happy B-Day. Hope 25 is treating you good.
My daughter tells me I'm a geriatric millennial.
Oh, wow.
That's what they're calling the 37-year-olds these days.
That ain't right. That's no. That's not right.
But then my hand hurt, and I'm like, that's kind of arthritis right there. I'm like, maybe it's true.
It's the little things. But we're still young enough to be a part of a variety show, Gretchen. We still have that in us. And that's what we're going to focus on real quick here. And I have a couple of things I want to touch on going on over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Before I get too far ahead, though, I do want to thank you, the board, and the play selection committee of giving me the opportunity to direct and to do On Golden Pond, just wrapping up our show. As you know, and I've been honest with the audience, I haven't directed, and I wasn't that 100% about directing, but you, very similar to times you've casted me, saw something that I didn't, and I'm so thankful for that because it was such a rewarding experience, and I cannot encourage anybody out there enough that has thought about directing to get behind that chair and to get in there and do it. It is such a rewarding experience, and I encourage everybody to direct a play, as well as be a part of shows and things over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater.
It was a great show. Good job.
We are celebrating our golden anniversary over at WRCT, and you found figured out a really fun way to do this. Going to have a variety show. It's coming up October 11th at 2 o'clock over at the theater itself. Gretch, what are we expecting for this?
This is going to be just a day full of talent, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
The people ask me, well, what is a variety show? It's kind of like a talent show, but with, like, fun. It's all about fun and putting on a good show. So we've got a little bit of everything from music to drama to comedy and improv and just overall just celebrating all the talents of all the people that are involved with the show, so, or with the theater.
You know, an adult's talent show is a fun way to kind of put it in everything. I think that that's very relatable to a lot of people out there. Mm-hmm. One of the ways that I thought about this, too, is some of the old variety shows that used to be on, and it feels a little similar to that, some of the presentation and some of that, and the literal variety of it and everything. It's a fun idea. It's a great concept. It's not always easy to pull off, though, and I really do send a shout-out to this community and so many people stepping up and wanting to be a part of the show.
Yeah, it's come down to, like, it's at the mercy of who's willing to perform. And you think, oh, I'm going to get a lot of people. It really was kind of hard to find enough people. We do have some kids in it because I was opening it up to all of our aspects from ages 9 to 99. Mm-hmm. So we got representation from the kids, got representation from the Silver Foxes, and everyone in between. But finding the dedicated people. I mean, it doesn't take a lot. It's not like we're practicing a bunch.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's just you show up and you do your thing, and then me and Aaliyah are going to do some witty banter in between. So.
You guys are going to do great with that. both great talkers and great MCs. When it comes to something you mentioned there, I see another opening here and I have to take it. You mentioned opening it up to all those age ranges, and you got some kids involved with this and some seniors involved with this. And those age ranges, those age groups tend to be a little fearless. You know, you don't think as much. You're not in your head as much as a little kid, and you kind of be a little more fearless. As you get to be older and stuff, you care less and less about what other people think, and you become a little braver maybe with some of your things. But it doesn't have to take those age ranges. In between there is a lot of years. And a lot of years that you may be kind of wanting to do something different or push yourself or try something else. This is a great opportunity to have a local community theater like this. And maybe you're not going to be a part of things as far as the variety show, but if we do something like this again, you might want to be. And you might want to get your, some reps, opportunities in the theater world. So encourage people to be a part of things over at the theater. They're always looking for volunteers and always looking for actors and stuff. So encourage that. When it comes to the type of event that we're going to be having here, you mentioned there's a bunch of different things going on with that. Is there any kind of particular order you wanted to put stuff in, or you just how we do with this? We just kind of go with it.
Well, I'm trying to make my set list a little bit so that it's like a variety, so I don't throw all the singers in one little group. So I'm trying to space them out a little bit in ages. Like, I've got a couple of the Silver Foxes doing a little bit of skit work, and so each of them are going to do two or three of them, and I'm not going to put them right next to each other. So there's this one actor, Linda Garski. She does this really cute set of monologues where she dresses up like a 5-year-old girl. She is so cute in it, and it's just this, she's kind of like giving advice from a 5-year-old, and so that's going to be three different sections, and it's just
fantastic.
The cutest thing. I love it so much.
I would be there just for that. Like, if you told me that's the whole show, I'd still be there. Like, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. That sounds great. There's going to be some light hors d'oeuvres to go along after the reception.
Yeah, so the board is coming together and bringing in some snacks and stuff to have in the lobby afterwards, so we can kind of. I bought a lot of old photos, and so there's going to be a lot of photo boards that I got to put together yet, and put those in the lobby so people can view old pictures from the last 50 years. It's been a really interesting thing, and I'm kind of going to be honoring people who've worked in the theater for such a long time, so our set builders and our sound and light designers, but I also was able to get in touch with Kathy Miles, the founder of the theater, and she came to the theater and she recorded a little video that I'll be showing
awesome.
At the very beginning, kind of like why she, like a welcome message and why she wanted to start the theater and how she did it, and she's very proud of what it has become, and so she's hoping for another 50 years, and that's what it's all about.
Very thankful that I've had the opportunity to tell her this face-to-face multiple times, but eternally thankful to Kathy on many levels, certainly as a community and those early days of the theater and getting that started and all the work that it took, but just on a personal level. And I, like many people out there, have a personal relationship with her and the way she's helped me or helped my career or something like that. I literally wouldn't be where I am without the work that she has done with me and helped me with and everything, the opportunities, the doors she has opened for me, let alone us as a community with this theater. It's a very cool thing, a very nice addition to this, and it leads into one of the main points I wanted to get to when talking about
you were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio,
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Texas National Guard troops hit the streets of Chicago today, and Mayor Brandon Johnson has a question.
The governor of Texas should be worrying about Texas. Why he all up in my business?
Both the city and state have filed lawsuits. The government shutdown now entering its second week, and air traffic controller sickouts are affecting more airports. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
The percentage of on-time departures nationwide has ticked down over the last several days as these staffing issues have increased.
James Comey is headed to court to face charges of obstruction and lying to Congress about approving leaks to the media during testimony 5 years ago. Correspondent Scott McFarlane.
The former FBI director fired by President Trump in 2017 has denied wrongdoing, but he will face two criminal charges at an arraignment at the federal courthouse in Alexandria, Virginia today.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.